My name is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom, the Garden of Peace by Rav Shalom Harush. We're learning the job of the husband, the job that no one ever taught him, the job that without instruction from the likes of Rav Harush, we are lost. We're lost in the desert and we're being attacked by the wild animals at every side, by the blaring sun in the sky,
the snakes and scorpions, the flies
that are hiding behind the rocks, by the mosquitoes which are biting us. We're being attacked. Why are we being attacked? So the principal reason is that we have a huge tatavah called lust for women, and that's what trips us up. That's the big Yetzirah that is getting in the way of marital bliss, of peaceful harmony, of true companionship, of true connection, of all the good that Hashem wants to give us through Shalom Bayit. So in this chapter we'll be learning about the ways that the Yetzirah trips us up in terms of Tavat Niuf, lust for women, and the job of a man, which is to eradicate that, to get rid of it to the best of his ability, to work on it every day, and to wait patiently for salvation. Right? It means that we can't actually get rid of it ourselves. Only Hashem can take it away. Hashem gave us the Yetzirah, and Hashem will take the Yetzirah away when he's ready, and not until then. Our job is to try. Simply to try every day, follow the words of Barav, to do half an hour every day to pray to Hashem. That's our job. If we do that, we've done our job. Hashem does the rest. When he's ready, for some people, it might take a few months, a few years. Other people, it might take 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Until it's gone, until that Yetzirah is gone. But that's not our concern. My concern is not when is Hashem going to take this thing away from me. My concern is, what do I need to do today? What's my job today? My job today, Hashem, is just to pray half an hour a day. That's what Maharav told me, and that's what I'm doing. Whatever happens after that, I tried. I've done my job. Hashem hasn't taken the Yetzirah away from me, so I'm going to fall. Right? If it takes 10, 15 years for Hashem to take away the Yetzirah, it means I've still got that Yetzirah for 10 to 15 years. It means I'm going to, how do I know I've still got it? It means I'm going to fall. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall on my face. I'm going to do things wrong. I'm going to mess up. And I'm going to do that for 10 or 15 years. Right? That's what it means. If I'm not doing that, it means that he already took the Yetzirah away, but he's not doing that. He's not taking the Yetzirah away. He doesn't do that because I haven't earned it. I haven't done anything that warrants it. I've got to struggle, I've got to have desire, that's on. What does the half an hour a day do? Half an hour a day is my ratzon. I need to show that I've got ratzon. I need to build that ratzon, a desire to actually change. And I don't have that desire to change innately. I need to work on it. And it takes half an hour a day to build the desire. And eventually, after a while, the desire starts to build. I actually feel like I want to change something here. Initially, I don't want to change at all. I'm not interested in changing. I've been this way for 20, 30, 40 years. And I enjoy the tava. That's why it's a tava. If I didn't enjoy it, it wouldn't be a tava. It would be a lust if I didn't enjoy it. Obviously, I enjoy it. But otherwise, it wouldn't be called a Yetzirah. So I enjoy it, clearly, because that's why it's called a Yetzirah. Right? So who wants to get rid of something they enjoy? Not me. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense to get rid of something that you like. Hashem, please take away this thing that I really like. No one can say that with a true heart. Right? If I really like something, and I'm telling Hashem to take it away from me, I'm not telling it, I don't really mean it. I'm half meaning it. But eventually, after half an hour, after several months, after however long it's going to take, then slowly, slowly Hashem allows the light to seep into my consciousness. And I start to realize, you know what? You're right. This is not good for me. You're right, Hashem. actually, it probably is better that you would do take it away. And slowly, slowly, I move down that chain of ratson, and the ratson starts to build. So I get to a place where I'm going to be, but I'm not there yet. A fiery, on fire for Hashem, take this away, I don't want it. And I really mean it, not just like in sound and action. I actually mean it, that's actually coming from I actually mean it. And when I've reached that place, and Hashem takes it away, says, Yofi, you got there, Baruch Hashem. But that takes a while to get there, a long while. And each one, according to, you know, if the more effort we put in, the quicker that takes. If we're just paying it lip service and doing our half an hour a day, okay, I need to do my half an hour, thanks Hashem, okay, please help me guard my eyes, and I'm just giving it lip service, I'm not putting any effort into it. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time. And Hashem is going to have to make me fall a lot so that I realize how bad it is for me. Because if I don't realize how bad it is, then I can't pray on it. If I still think it's good, I still am happy with this ta'ava, then I can't pray to get rid of it. So if I'm still happy with the ta'ava, Hashem has to show me reasons why it's not good for me. And that might be very difficult, right? He's going to have to make my wife get very angry at me. And then I'm going to realize, you know what? It's not worth it. Hashem, take away this ta'ava, because I don't want all this stress from my wife. I don't want all this rebuke. Right? So Hashem has to give me reasons to want to pray on it. So I can either work on it myself, I put effort into it myself. Hashem, help me please. I don't understand this. I don't know what I'm meant to be doing here, but I want you to help me. I want to be able to get rid of this. Even though I have no clue what I'm doing here, how you want me to do this, or what I'm meant to do, but I really want to do this. I can have a desire that's behind the desire. I don't yet have a desire to drop all my lusts. Stop. I admit. However, I do have a desire to do what you want. I do have a desire to do your will, Hashem. I do have a desire to do what my rabbi says. And that I can put more effort into. And that's going to lead me down the track into also getting rid of the desire itself. So let's continue with clearly reading the book Gana Shalom, so these chapters, and reading the book Briti Shalom. They also are what's going to give me desire to work on it, because they're going to give me the fuel that's going to fuel my Hizbodadut. If I read in those books all the terrible things that result from having this lust, then I've got something to talk about in Hizbodadut, and I've got some motivation. So it's good for me to read through those books time and time again in order to get that motivation, which will help me pray. So we're on page 139 in the Hebrew section. Avarish writes as follows. Teidahitev, you should know well. She'ief shala sot shalom im hayitzahara rak im machniyim oto. It is impossible to make peace with your yitzahara. The only way is to squash him, to conquer him. There's no peace. There's only conquering. U'mashamru Chazal, and that thing which Chazal said, Gam oyvav yashlim imo, that when a person does the will of Hashem, even his enemies make peace with him. Ze yitzahara, that's talking about the yitzahara. One explanation is that it's talking about the yitzahara. Ze yitaken rak asher mevatlim megamrei et oto hadavar. This occurs only when he cancels completely that lust. Achen shelo yite adam lachshov sheim yishma leyitzro hara azay yaniach lo v'yashlim ito. So a person should not make a mistake and think that if only he listens to his yitzhara, it will give him rest and make peace with him. Ein ze klal or klal ikar. This is completely, completely wrong. Adrab, on the contrary, rak im yachnia et yitzro hara legamrei. Only if he squashes it completely, right, as Yelo Shalom Imot, only then he will have peace. Aval im yotzeh lishmer leyetzahara, if he wants to listen to his yetzahara, azai hu lo yaneach lo, he won't leave him alone. Right? Yotzeh, yoteh, v'yoteh. It will only cause him more and more desire. Kmo shamru rabbeinu zal, like our sages said, ein adam meit v'chetzi ta'avod v'yado. Person doesn't die with half of his desire fulfilled. So the yetzahara has many tricks. And one of the tricks of the yetzahara is to try to convince the person, just listen to me, follow my yetzahara, and then I'll leave you alone. Just do what I want you to do, fulfill your lust, and then everything will be quiet. Right, then I'll leave you alone. It's not true. It's not true. What happens is that if a person allows himself to fulfill his lust, then the yetzahara doesn't go away, it doesn't go quiet after that. He just wants more. The yetzahara says, ah, you fulfilled that desire, I'm going to show you an even bigger desire. And he's now going to tempt to do something even bigger. So he doesn't go away, he comes back twice as strong. So it's not the answer to give in to the yetzahara and hope that he goes away. That's just making it worse. Right? You're feeding the flames, if you like. They're just gonna burn higher. The only way to get rid of the fire is to squash it, to put it out. It's the only way to get rid of it. You don't get rid of it by feeding it. And in this, even David HaMelech failed. This is where he stumbled. Because when Hashem told David HaMelech that he was going to test him in this area, in the area of forbidden relationships, as I kiyem et mitzvah gam b'yom kedei shelo yireh acher isha kol hayom. What did David do? So David HaMelech knew that he was going to be tested in a matter of forbidden relationships. So he decided wrongly, but he decided to fulfill the mitzvah of being with one of his wives, even during the day. Why did he do that? He did that because what he thought that would mean would be that he would then be free from any thoughts about that mitzvah, about doing that act during the day, because he'd already fulfilled his desire to whatever level that was, and therefore his yetzahara would leave him alone for the rest of the day, and he would be able to withstand any tests. He thought that this would help him succeed in any test. But he forgot, or it was hidden from him, the law which says, Eva katan yesh bada, that a man has a small organ, when you satisfy it, it becomes hungry. When you starve it, it becomes satisfied. And at the end, he fell. Right? So, David HaMelech, when he stumbled with Bathsheba, it was immediately after he was with one of his wives. Because the pasuk says that he got up in the day. So the comment said, what, when he got up in the day, what was he doing in bed in the day? And the answer was he was trying to prevent any stumbling with his yetzahara by already being with his wife. And then he wouldn't stumble, but he got it wrong. The yetzahara comes back even stronger. It doesn't help to try and get rid of it that way. This is what Chazal said about the pasuk. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavacha. You should love Hashem your God with all your heart. V'chol levavacha. What's the meaning of that? V'shnei yitzrecha. Levavacha has two bets. Should be levcha. V'chol levcha. All your heart. V'chol levavacha. Levav. With your two hearts. What's that mean? It means your two yetzers. Your yetzer tov and yetzer hara. Shetzuchim lechvot et ha yetzer hara elachniot. The person needs to conquer his yetzer hara. Shaya avod ha'adam et Hashem. In order that it serves, that a person serves Hashem, gamim ha'yetzer hara shelo, even with his yetzer hara. Right? The only way a person can serve Hashem with both his yetzer tov and his yetzer hara is if he first conquers his yetzer hara, he can then use that to serve Hashem. Aval kol zman she yetzer hara mata'et ha'adam, but all of the whole time that the yetzer hara makes a person stumble, shev shala avod Hashem, rishaer im kol ha'tovot. Aval kol zman she yetzer hara mata'et ha'adam. But all the whole time that the Yetzer Hara makes a man erroneously think that it's possible to serve Hashem, Risha'er in Kol HaTavot, and to remain with his Tavot, as Lo Yuchal Liot Shalom, then there cannot be peace. Ki Shalom Zeravak Shegam Yetzer Hara Meshuv Ben Lo Ratzon Hashem. Because peace only exists when also the Yetzer Hara is enslaved in to do the Ratzon of Hashem. Vegam Ito Adam Oved Et Hashem Yibarach, and also with it the person can then serve Hashem. Right? The person cannot hold on to his ta'avot. The parable, the mashal, the person who wants to dip in a mikvah, and in their hand they're holding a dead sheretz, which is a source of tumah. Can't dip in the mikvah holding on to your tumah. We have to let go of it. We have to get rid of it. It's not a valid diversion. You don't get purified while you're holding on to your dead sheretz. The tava is a dead sheretz. It's disgusting. It's full of tumah. It doesn't do anything for you. We can say goodbye to it. But we, even though it's disgusting and horrible, we're holding on to it. We're like attached to it. We don't want to let go of it. Right? Because that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara gives us the imagination. It tells us that, no, it's good for you. No, it's what gives you happiness. It's what gives you life. It's what gives you enjoyment in this world. You need it. You're going to be nothing without it. You're going to be sad and depressed. You're not going to know how to live. Don't all the lies of the Yetzer Hara that tell us. And they're not true. They're lies, but we don't know that. And the only reason that we're going to give it up and let go, the only reason we're going to do that is faith, Emunah. Because logically, no one would do that. Logically, someone gives you $100, puts it in your hand, and says, that's for you. You say, thank you very much. And then he says, now throw it in the bin, in the garbage. You're like, why should I do that? Because it's good for you. It's going to help you. No! I'm not going to do that. I've got something in my hand that I think is good for me. I'm not going to let go of it. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm only going to do that with faith. Only if with Amunah, and if my Amunah is going to let me let go of that dead sheretz. It's going to let me let go of that ta'ava. Only because I'm trusting in Hashem. Hashem, you said I need to let go of it, then I'm going to let go of it. I don't know why I'm letting go of it. I don't want to let go of it. I quite like it very much, I want to hold on to it, but you said to let go of it, and so I'm going to do it. That's the only way I'm going to get to do it. Not logic, not through brain. You know what, it's the right thing to do, maybe it's not so good for me, maybe it's actually better for me not to do that. No, logic's not going to... At the end of the day, I have to trust in Hashem. Trust in Hashem, and say goodbye. It's very hard. It's very hard, that's why we need half an hour every day. We're not going to do it overnight. Can't just go to the field and decide, right, that's it, finished, no more. It's not going to happen. You can spend 6 hours, you can spend 24 hours. It's not going to happen. Bit by bit, every day, until we work on ourselves. It's the only way that's going to happen. Onesh Gadol. Kol mi sheyitvonen. Every person that considers. Yavin she'tava inov hi onesh nora. Anyone who actually thinks about it, will see and understand that the lust for women is actually a big punishment. And a person who has lust for women, which is all of us, fortunately, suffers from it terrible sufferings, she'ein kedugmatam, which have no comparison. She kulo bo'el l'ta'anug dimyoni she'olam i'efshar l'safko, because he is entirely consumed by a passion for a desire which is purely imagination and which can never be fulfilled. Right? Having imagination on something brings in pretty shalom. How can a person put themselves through that, such an illogical thing, to allow yourself to desire something that you can never have? It's just going to cause you suffering and frustration no end. That a person can walk down the street and desire all these women that he can never have is just crazy. It's bonkers. Who would do something so dumb to themselves to make themselves suffer, right, by wanting something that you can never have? Lumat zot, eita ta'anug amiti yesh lo oto adam shemashukwa me'ta'ava zot. And the other side of this is that the true pleasure that a person can have when he frees himself from that ta'ava, from that lust, shezechol litom ta'am b'tfilah l'itna'eg b'komitzvah, that when he frees himself from that lust, he will merit to be able to taste the true taste of prayer and the pleasure in every mitzvah. Umargish b'chol rega, and to feel at every moment, noam shofer b'tocha, to just feel relaxed and pleasant and good inside. B'ishto yireh mimenu, and his wife will be in awe of him. V'iladav mekavdin oto, and his children will respect him. Umuvtach lo sheyu tzadikim, and he has a promise that his children will become tzadikim. Moshe Katub, like it's written in the pasuk, like the bring story from Sefer Amidot. Misha shalot b'yitzroh, a person who controls his yitzhara. Banav lo yitzu l'tarbot ra, his children will not go off the derech. V'yesho parnasah b'kalut, and he has easy parnasah, zikaron, memory, simcha. Right, so this is the greatest pleasure and enjoyment that a person can have, and that's only for Hashem. And he has no other desire that interests him. Right, all that comes only as a gift from Hashem when a person gets rid of their ta'ava. So when we say when a person lets go of their dead sherets, if you like, that they're holding on to, they don't want to let go of the lust. We don't realize two things. First of all, we don't realize how damaging it is to hold on to it, how much suffering we suffer every day, all the confusions, all the stresses, all the difficulties in life we have that results from this lust. We don't realize that we're going to benefit from losing all of that baggage, all of those troubles and suffering. But also, we don't realize what we're going to gain. What we're going to gain is that once we have a strong desire inside of us, but that desire can only be attuned to one thing. Either we're using it for good or not. So that desire at the moment is being used up with lusts for women. And instead, once that lust for women's disappeared, then that desire can actually go back to its rightful place. What's that? That's a desire for Torah, tefillah, for Hashem, Yitbarach himself. And that desire is way above the enjoyment and pleasure that a person has of desire for women is nothing like the enjoyment and pleasure that he's going to have from that same desire when it's put in the correct place. You're still going to have that desire. You're still going to have that great lust, if you like. But you're going to turn it to the right place. And now you're going to have desire for Torah, tefillah, for Hashem. And you're going to taste Gan Eden, which is going to be way above any lust from this world. Right? But we don't realize that. And that's, again, faith. How do I know that's going to happen? I don't know. Sounds good. Yes, please. I'd like that very much. I don't know. I don't know. Is it worth it to me? No. It sounds good, but I don't... Maybe it won't happen for me. Maybe that happens for Sadiqin, and that I get rid of my lust and I don't feel that. Who knows? I don't know. So what, again, it comes out to Aguna. Aguna that I trust. I trust in Hashem that that's going to happen. Hashem, I'm going to get rid of this, and then I'm going to be connected to you and taste Gan Eden and be happy with my prayers. And I'm going to get that. I don't know how. I don't know why. I'm going to trust you. I believe you, Hashem. I'm going to believe with Emuna that I'm going to get that. And it's worth it for me to make the effort to drop the nonsense and to be given a gift of all those wonderful things that Bezrat Hashem we will all merit very soon. Thank you.
Cool. Question.
Yeah.
If the arrogance feeds you. Even humility is the cure. The half hour,
Of course,
is the humility, is that the half hour, the talking to Hashem about that?
Uh-huh.
And also the half hour question is it just focusing on the personal holiness? Is it just restricting it to eyes of holiness? Could you keep... Or is it, because personal holiness could have, let's say, three pillars of happiness, of growing shimmer sabrit, and eyes of holiness. Or is it all, it's just one big package, and you're discussing that while I, and if you're discussing any component, but wasn't sure. Does humility enter the discussion, or you really just try to stay on the... On guarding the eyes for the half hour.
Okay. So I think I would answer like this. So the first question is humility. So I agree with you that Rabbeinu says that the root of the lust for women is in gava. The root of all the negative midot is in gava. And so here too. Right, that lust for women is its roots are in gava. The person is so arrogant to think that he can have all these different women, that all these women are appropriate for him, that they're interested in him, that they want to be with him. Right, it all comes from a gava. Right, when a person's humble, he has no imagination that to be with any other woman. Why would he even think? Why would I think that any other woman is appropriate for me to be with any other woman? It doesn't even occur to me if I'm truly humble. So the roots are in there. So for sure, humility is part of the process of cancelling that Yetzirah. Right? The more I can work on humility, the weaker the lust for women is going to become. It will weaken it. And you're right, the half an hour of his Hisbodadut has a great humbling effect. The more his Hisbodadut we do, the more humble we get. The more we speak to Hashem, the more we identify ourselves as reliant on Hashem, that we're nothing, Hashem, I need your help. So all of that is humility. Also the fact that in his Hisbodadut the person is confessing, Hashem, I messed up again, can't believe it, I fell again, I looked again, I'm sorry. So all that's humility as well. Confession is saying I messed up, that's humility. So that all helps. So it's definitely an important part of it. I would say it's more of a spin-off more implicit than actually verbally trying to work on humility. I think it's more of an outcome. In terms of the second question as to what to focus on, so you're right that Tikkun HaBrit has different aspects. We often talk about it as Shmirat Inayim. So sometimes we talk about Shmirat Inayim in a general sense, meaning covering the other things. But sometimes we mean Shmirat Inayim specifically, just Shmirat Inayim, like God in the eyes. In that case, we can certainly say that Shmirat Inayim is the main thing to work on, because Rabbeinu teaches us that the Yetzer Hara doesn't have permission to enter, right? Except through the eyes. So it's the start of everything. Right? If we haven't got Shmirat Inayim, there's no point working on the other stuff, right? Because we haven't done anything. So for sure, that I think, my understanding is that that should be the main thing. But I think also it's very useful to bring in the other things too. But I think the main half an hour should be to work on Shmirat Inayim. You can also have, if a person has a particular thing that's concerning them, they want to speak about it a lot, so find out, you know, on one of the other topics. Coffee, then that's also good. It's not a problem to do it, but I think to go back and, you know, the next time to go back and make the next day, the next time, mainly on Shmirat Inayim, I think is the main thing for us to do.